T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, Hugh, you know what I'm going to ask you? What do you think? This is a good one. You like this one.
Yes, I do.
Come on. I can see it in your face.
I like it so much.
I had to turn the volume up the second I heard that one. I might put this on once I leave, actually.
Yeah, I like this.
It's good, right?
Come on. I mean, it sounds like the same other song you played. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not a Backstreet Boy fan.
But he knew it was Backstreet Boy.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't the fan, but he knew exactly.
I mean, I'm just saying, because it all sounds the same.
I heard this from the grocery store.
Listen to this part. Let it go.
Look at that. Look at him smiling. Look at him smiling. Yeah.
I'm just laughing because they all sound the same.
They're all
the same. Okay, fine. That's fine. I don't want to be painted as a Backstreet Boy hater.
It's too late, man.
I'm not
the
hating.
The streets are talking to you. People know. All right.
All I know is car radios are getting turned up right now.
Oh, that's right. They
and
are.
And then turned down once I start talking.
Well, no, don't say that. The LA Sharp Parks call on the Sid and brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's Color, Cut, Clarity, Carrot, and Cozy on the eve of the NFL draft. All right, Elliot, we've been discussing this morning. You saw it. The ESPN rumor story this morning, like things they're hearing before the draft. Dan Graziano said he heard the Eagles could trade up for a receiver or even Brock Bowers. I think this is insanity.
I know you do.
Because they have enough, and I think they need to even out the other parts of their team. Defense, even the offensive line. If they take a pass catcher, let's just say, is it a smart decision?
So let's start with Brock Bowers, because if you would have asked me this last week, I would have hated the pick of Brock Bowers. I think Goddard is one of the best tight ends in the NFL. You could put him 5, 6, 7, wherever you want to put him. He's one of the best pass-catching tight ends in the NFL. I also don't want them to run a ton of two tight end sets. But if we think Kellen Moore is going to come to this offense and have a big say on how it's run and personnel groupings and all that, if you look at the last 3 years of Kellen Moore's coaching, in his personnel grouping, he has used two tight end sets more than most of the teams in the league. I think he's top 10 each of the last 3 years. Mm. And when he's in two tight end sets, he throws it more than almost any other team in the NFL. So if we think Kellen Moore is going to come in here and run his style of offense, they're going to be using two tight end sets and they're going to throw it out of there. So that has to be considered. Now, I don't love Brock Bowers as a prospect. I would rather take a Brian Thomas Jr. But the bottom line is one of the players that will help this team the most in the first round is on the offensive side of the ball as a pass catcher.
Well, that could be true. I mean, the other part of this, and I know you've been on this, is it has to be where the draft falls to them, right? And I keep hearing people say this is a great tackle draft, a great wide receiver draft, which feels like every draft's a good wide receiver
draft, especially nowadays. Yeah.
Right, and a quarterback draft. So, like, I think I saw something where this could break the record for most offensive players taken in the first round, which could mean one of two things. One, there's an offensive player that's higher on their board than defense, or it could mean that that they get a pick of one of the few defensive players. How much do you think that goes into what they do tomorrow night, like the strength of this draft versus what they need?
So when I look at this draft, I think the special players, as you just said, are on the offensive side of the ball. And specifically, I think the strength of this draft in general, you could say quarterback, but I don't love Drake May. I mean, the quarterbacks will go early. I think the deepest position in the first round is offensive line. Howie Roseman loves offensive linemen, and he loves getting special prospects. So that's what I think they're most likely to do tomorrow night. When you look at the draft and how it plays out, they have a needed offensive line because they don't have a starting offensive guard. The depth behind their starters right now is terrible. I know you can't take a backup in the first round, but regardless, they don't have anybody behind their two tackles. But the best players are at that position. So I think the offensive line checks the box of need and you're not reaching for a corner or an edge that probably in other years wouldn't be a first-round pick.
You know, I was just about to ask you about that. How much do you feel that with all the young guys that they have on this team right now at that position, that getting a corner is a necessity for this team?
I don't think it's a necessity. When I look at the defensive side of the ball, Kelee Ringo, I think, is a nice young prospect. Eli Ricks, I thought, played well last year, considering the circumstance, getting thrown in as an undrafted rookie. I think he has the ideal body type at corner. He played high-level football in college at big-time programs. I like Eli Ricks. And yesterday, they got Isaiah Rogers reinstated. In the 1 year Isaiah Rogers played, or the last one, I should say, before he got suspended, Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the fifth best corner in the NFL. Do I think he's the fifth best corner? No, of course not. But he clearly had a great year and was one of the better corners in the NFL. So they have young players there. And will those guys turn out? Who knows? But I feel just as confident as Kelee Ringo turning into a guy as I do Quinyon Mitchell. Kelee Ringo has done it at the highest level of college football and played in the NFL last year. So I think the corners, they have more guys there than they do at offensive line.
Elliot, I heard Joe bring up something interesting in front of the camera with their – so a lot of these draft trade rumors out there have the Eagles trading one of their two second-round picks to move up in the first round. Do you like that idea? I mean, obviously, if they went way up, it's probably worth it. But, like, would you trade one of the twos to get to 16? Because the point Joe made, and it's a good one, the Eagles have had a lot of success in the second round. It's like Jalen Hurts, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders, and we can go on forever. They usually do well there. And it's not like they're late in the second round. They're, like, right in the middle, those 50 and 53. Do you think it's a good idea to trade one of those to move up in the first?
So I will always support going up to get your guy. It is more important they hit on the first-round pick than it is the second-round pick. And if someone is sitting there at 16 that you feel so strongly about, let's say Troy Fontanu out of Washington, stud offensive guard prospect, can play offensive tackle, will start right away, will bring personality to the offensive line room. If he's there at 16 and they feel strongly about him, then go get him. But in this draft specifically, I think there is not a ton of difference between who you're getting at 20 and who you're getting in the top of the second round, mid-second round. It's one of those drafts where I would almost rather have more shots at the dartboard than go up and get like a stud guy. Like the years those were the Patrick Surtains, the Jalen Carters, some of the better edge rushers, Will Anderson. I don't think there's those types of players in this draft. So I'll take more shots, but if we're talking on Friday or next week and they've traded up for a guy, I support the idea of having conviction in who you want and spending to get that player.
All right, maybe they traded for Quinyon Mitchell, the corner out of Toledo. So we found out that his coach at Toledo is Nick Sirianni's former college roommate.
Yes.
What do we think about that? I mean, on one hand, it's like, wow, he may have insight that other people don't, like a relationship with that coach rather than just like coach to coach, hey, what do you think of this kid? What do you think about that? Because they've been connected to him. And Tony Pauline yesterday said the Eagles maybe trade with Denver to get all the way up to 12 for him.
I mean, it's going to be a big 48 hours for that friendship, right? I mean, like...
Give me the truth. I need everything I need to know.
If a year from now the Eagles take Quinyon Mitchell and the stuff that the head coach told Nick proves to be not true, you have to wonder how that impacts their friendship. But, I mean, I do think it's advantageous. At the end of the day, all the teams are talking to this head coach about Quinyon Mitchell. They're getting information. But Nick knowing him better, Nick knowing how to read him, Nick knowing, you know, trusting, I guess, that he would tell him the truth. Maybe he gives more information to Nick. It's only a positive thing. Now, I believe the cornerback stuff is smokescreen. That doesn't mean they won't take one. I mean, if the draft falls their way, I would be very surprised if they moved up to like 12 to take a Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell. I think if they take a corner, the most likely one is Kool-Aid McKinstry. He came into Philadelphia. If you look at the history of the Eagles, the guys that they draft are guys that they've brought to Philadelphia. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith. Some of the misses, Andre Dillard, didn't come to Philadelphia. So I think it matters. If you look at the guys that they've brought to Philadelphia this year, and I know it's not as simple as just saying this, but in some ways it is. The first-round players who have come to Philadelphia, Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeJean, Troy Fontanu, Tyler Guyton, your guy, the edge rusher out of UCLA, Chop Robinson, and Kool-Aid McKinstry. So while the draft could play out in a lot of different ways, chances are one of those seven players are the ones that are going to be on the Eagles on Friday.
Well, just the names you threw out based on like where we see them mocked, if they go with only guys they've brought in, if we go with the theory you have, and I think the only one since Howie got back into power that they didn't bring in for a visit was Dillard. I think all the rest they
have. Yeah, he's the one that fell. He didn't come in. They brought Reger in.
So McKinstry, DeJean, or Chop Robinson? or Guyton. Those feel like the guys that'll be around at 20. Like if they don't trade
McKintry
up,
McKintry will be there. Cooper DeJean will be there. I think Guyton will be there. Arnold won't be.
Chop probably will.
The UCLA edge rusher will be there, I would think.
Because of the injury.
Because of the injury and the age.
His production's crazy though.
Yeah.
He was tremendous.
So I think
that's the neck injury though, right?
Yeah. Laiatu Latu.
Yeah.
So I think the best defensive player in the draft is Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas. But if you remove like qualifiers about age and injury history, I think the edge rusher out of UCLA is right there. The production is there. And what I really like about him is, and why I think he makes a little more sense as an older player, is he comes to the NFL with pass rusher moves. I mean, Hugh, I'm sure can talk about this, but like, if you come to the NFL with a plan to attack offensive tackles already, you're so far ahead of some of these other prospects that have to learn how to do that, how to use his hands, how to counter things that the offensive linemen do. He can do that. So while he's 23 and he has that injury history, he's more ready to play than a guy like Chop Robinson, who doesn't have an injury history and is younger.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his profile, if you take away the injuries, he looks like a top 10 pick. Like, great pass rusher, production, the comp is TJ Watt.
And the fact that he's not tells you how concerning the age and the injury is.
Yeah, and it's not just like a leg injury. It was like spinal fusion.
Well,
that's a lot. That's a lot.
He had neck surgery. He missed 2 years of football. So I don't know if he's more likely to re-injure the neck, but I do think what the situation is, if he were to, then he's probably done. As opposed to another player, if he were to, you know, unfortunately suffer that injury, maybe he could continue to play.
For sure. All right, Ellie, let's end with this, because I think it's an underrated subplot of this draft. I know we're not paying attention to the quarterbacks as much because the Eagles aren't in the quarterback market, but if things break a certain way, 4 or 5 of these guys could land in the NFC. Like a year ago, when we looked at the future of the NFC, it was like, it's Jalen Hurts and?
Yeah.
And now Brock Purdy established himself as good. Jordan Love looks like he's good, right? And now we could add... Goff's not going anywhere for a while. And now we could add potentially 4 or 5 of these young kids. So I'm going to throw the names at you and just give me a sense of what you think of them, if there's any that you think stand out. I know you're a big guy on franchise swag with quarterbacks.
I am, yeah. All right. I've looked at all of their Instagrams. I'm ready to see how cool they are.
Caleb Williams is going to be in the NFC with the Bears. He's one.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels is probably going to be the second pick to the Commanders, so he's in the NFC too and in the division. The Giants could trade up for Drake May. That's a third. And then McCarthy and the Vikings has been a thing for a while. So Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy. Give me the Elliott Shore Parks thoughts on this quarterback class.
So Caleb Williams, to me, I would be somewhat nervous, but I think you'd be foolish not to take him one. He looks like Mahomes when he plays. He has a stud arm. I think he's already a star. I think that matters. Like, he's going to come to the NFL aware of the pressure and having the spotlight on him. I think that really, really matters. Like, Drake May has not dealt with the scrutiny and attention that Caleb Williams has. So I really like Caleb Williams. He'd be my number one. My number two is J.J. McCarthy.
Mm, he's a winner.
He's a winner. He's a big time. He played at a big time program. And this thing about that, he didn't throw the ball a ton. I agree with that. But he was a really high recruit. He played at a big time high school program. And if you just watch the throws he did make at Michigan, he is very good, and he can move. I was surprised how well he can move. So he's my number two. I have Jaden Daniels at number three. He's just such a special player. He makes plays. He has a strong arm. You look at what he did at LSU last year in terms of just getting the ball up and down the field. And then obviously as a runner, he's an extreme plus. I mean, he's compared to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He'd be my number three. I want no part of Drake May. If the Eagles should be hoping that the Giants get Drake May. I am not in on him. That would be my quarterback rankings.
Yeah, and you look at McCarthy. The McCarthy thing is interesting. Jalen Hurts at Alabama threw the ball about the same as McCarthy.
Yeah.
When you're in a good team, you're not going to throw it as much, right?
Yep.
You're winning games. You're ahead. Yeah, Hugh's not sold on Caleb Williams. I mean, he's clearly the top pick tomorrow, Hugh, but people wonder how great he's going to be, because some people think he's going to be like the best quarterback in the league, right there at Mahomes eventually.
Yeah, I think he struggles in Chicago. I really do. I don't think that, you know, when you look at the development of quarterbacks in Chicago, who comes to mind?
None.
I'm saying,
right.
and you talk about Fields when he was there, they really didn't help him out a lot. Like they looked like they didn't have a clue of what they were going to do. So I think he's going to struggle. I think that he's going to go there. Everybody's high on him. I think the game is going to be a little bit faster for him. Well, obviously it's going to be a little bit faster for him. But, yeah, I think he's going to struggle this first year.
Well, I think, too, this applies to quarterbacks, but I think it's especially true in general. All the players that will get drafted, it matters so much where you land.
Totally.
If you're a player, you have to hope you're landing in a place like Philadelphia. There's talent there. There's good coaching. They have a track record of, A, paying their guys, but also developing them. To Hugh's point, if I'm Drake May, I have no interest in going to the Giants. I'd rather fall 10 spots and land somewhere else than go have to play for New York as a bad head coach. They've been bad for years. Caleb Williams with Chicago, I agree. That's why I like Justin Fields more than other people. I think he's more a product of being there than he is a bad player. But the one thing the Eagles have going for him is the player they draft tomorrow will come to a situation where he is set up to succeed.
Well, that's the McCarthy. Like, if McCarthy goes to the Vikings with Justin Jefferson and Kevin O'Connell, he's going to be good. If he goes to the Patriots, he's probably going to stink.
100%.
Yeah, it is a lot situation. Ari Elliott, are you going to have a final prediction tomorrow? Are you going to do it right for the draft? Like, when
yeah,
are we
so I have my prediction.
You got
what
it?
What you got?
Yeah. If I had to pick a player that I think is most likely to end up on the Eagles tomorrow, I think it's Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. And my
tackle.
The tackle. My Yeah, I know.
That's not sexy at all.
But my logic is he's a special athlete. He's been working out with Lane Johnson. He'll be there at 22. They had him in for a visit, so he's one of those seven guys that they had.
Checks
in.
A lot of boxes.
Checks a lot of boxes. And while the draft world doesn't think he can play guard, he has a more athletic body type than Landon, but he's just as big. The size, the weight, it's all similar. So if they think Landon can be a great offensive guard, maybe they think Guyton can play offensive guard. So Guyton would be my top guy. After that, I'd go Troy Fontanu out of Washington. He'd be a trade-up guy for me. And if they take a corner, I think the corner they're most likely to take is Kool-Aid McKinstry.
So Guyton, Fontanu, McKinstry.
Those are my three.
And all came in here for a visit?
All came in here for a visit. Two of those guys are probably available at 22. I think if you're making a prediction, you can't expect them to trade up. So those would be my two guys. And then if they do move up, I think it'll be for Fontanu out of Washington.
All right. It's going to be fun tomorrow night, the NFL draft. Elliot, we appreciate it. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Appreciate you.
Yep.
There he goes. Elliot Short Parks in his weekly spot with us. So Tyler Guyton at number 22, as Kyle is upset back there. It would make more sense than a wide receiver for everyone out there that's not crazy. It'd make way more sense than a wide receiver.
No, it wouldn't.
Sure would.
Yeah, we need a pass catcher. I wouldn't mind having a pass catcher.
Well, I'm asking everybody this. What do you think is the more likely that the Eagles hit on with two picks, right? Mid-round O-lineman and early round, you know, say receiver or corner, or the reverse? I think there is a clear answer here. Clear.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, I would tend to agree with. I know it's a leading question.
Right. Well,
it's a leading question
because it's the right question to ask. Right? We're talking about what the Eagles have the best chance of succeeding in the draft. Is that not the only question that we should be asking?
Well, all right, but again,
how can they get the best outcome in the draft?
Yes, but as the draft goes on, you control it less. Like early on, I mean, I bet Howie Roseman right now can guess the first 25 picks with some level of guesswork. Once you get to 52, 50 and 53, who knows what's on the board?
Right, but how many offensive linemen are they saying that are great in this class?
A lot.
Okay, so then why do we need to use 22 to get one when you can get another good one later?
And that's fine, and I get your point. I'm trying to get a defensive player in here. Give me Latu. Give me a corner. Give me someone that can affect the game in a big way.
You know who affects the game in a big way?
Right, here we go.
Brock.
Yeah, and that Brock would affect the game way more than a corner or a defensive end would as a rookie. Are you nuts?
Find tight ends throughout the draft. All the best tight ends in the league. How many are first round picks?
Okay.
Not many.
Not a whole lot.
Sam,
you can also find a good offensive lineman anywhere in the draft.
Well, you can find anything anywhere if you look hard enough, but the Eagles struggle to find these things.
Well, okay, so that's my point. What do the Eagles have the best success rate historically of doing?
I think that the offensive player would have more success in this offense because the pressure would be as
great.
You're damn right.
It'll be more impactful immediately.
As it would be on the defensive player.
Now, why did we sign Saquon to win a Super Bowl in 3 years? No.
No. I agree with that. But you know what? It's also, and I think Mark Ross brought this up with us, the Eagles can view things differently because they have a front office that's not afraid to get fired. Teams make bad decisions when they're worried just about now.
Oh, you read between the lines when you said that.
Right? Oh, yeah. Howie knows he's not going anywhere. So you could take a guy for the future. 215-592-9494. Lot to react to there. Elliot with us. He thinks Tyler Guyton is the most likely pick for the Eagles at 22 tomorrow. Hugh, I think this quarterback thing is fascinating. Now, Hugh and I are going to have a mock-off at 1 o'clock.
Mock-off.
The daily mock at 1. It's our final one because tomorrow we have a Phillies game in the afternoon.
Weird.
It's a mock-off.
I will be tracking your accuracy, by the way. Both of you guys.
Do a mock-off. But I find it fascinating because I think four of these top quarterbacks could land in the NFC. If this is a good quarterback class, this changes the future of the Eagles' window. Now, if it's a bad quarterback class and they all land in the NFC, it makes the Eagles' ability to win the conference and win the division and all that easier for the next 5 years. But I think that's really interesting. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, McCarthy, all could be within the NFC. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Terrence, who's up next. What's up, Terrence?
Terrence.
Yo, Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, Terrence. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I want to hit on the Sixers too, but I want to start talk about the offense side of the ball. You guys want to go with offense and the receipt? Well, Joe, you don't. I'm with Joe on this one. I feel like after I saw what I saw last year on the defense side of the ball, I want to go with defense to shore up this defense. If it's on the interior line, if it's a cornerback, safety, whatever. Because I feel like we saw this last year. If you get too many weapons, and they couldn't even score with the weapons we had last year. But if you bring in another weapon, I feel like it might cause friction because, you know, AJ had a problem with the balls he was getting. And we even saw it with Smitty. Smitty got a little aggravated because he wasn't getting any catches. He wasn't receiving the ball. So I feel like it could be a gift and it could be a curse to grab another receiver because I feel like what we have right now, we got the Ferrari in the backfield with Saquon, and we have two receivers. We have a lot of weapons. And I feel like if you can't use them weapons, there's something wrong with your coaching. Like, we have a lot of weapons. I mean, I know we grabbed a couple of veteran slot receivers, but I would rather go defense on the defense side of the ball.
And I think Terrence, I think they can get a receiver in the third or fourth round to plug in as the
Absolutely.
Slot. I mean, I don't think some of the bet. Amon-Ra St. Brown just got $30 million a year. They just signed him about an hour ago. He was like a mid-round pick. I mean, you don't need to use first-round picks to get good receivers in the NFL.
And like you said, though, there's always a diamond in the rough, you know.
Puka Nacua, he's died.
Absolutely.
Fifth rounder.
So wait a minute, Terrence. I don't want to put words in your mouth. So, but basically, we're not going to draft a receiver because we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings.
No, I'm not using that resource.
It could cause friction.
I'm just saying.
Well, he's right. It could cause friction.
So we worried about
it. AJ likes his
reception. I don't give a damn what AJ like. I'm trying to win Super Bowls.
So am I with a defense.
I'm trying to win
Super Major League buddies.
Major League buddies.
It's also not fantasy football, everybody.
Jalen needs to perform.
I know, Terrence. Say it with your chest, Terrence.
He needs all the weapons.
He's got enough.
He needs all the weapons.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
They want
to fix it, man. Have the offensive line pick him up and carry him into the end zone next year. He's the quarterback.
Hey, man, they pretty much do that. Yeah.
You guys are right about that one.
A quick thing on the Sixers, guys. We should be up 2-0 in the series right now. And I feel like the refs, most definitely Maxey got fouled twice. Nick Nurse said the referees looked right at him. They didn't give him the timeout. I feel like we should be up 2-0. I feel like we're the better team. And who's that? Josh Hart? He's not going to keep scoring 20 points a game. He ain't going to keep scoring 20 points a game. So if we neutralize Brunson, we have a chance to win these series. But one more thing. I saw this earlier, and they said the Sixers might not bring in Tobias Harris back. Please don't. This guy can't even score 10 points.
Terrence, if he comes back,
you have to give me at least 16 a game, Tobias.
Oh, I can't. Well, Terrence, we appreciate it. Speaking of Tobias Harris, you guys got to hear this. Rasheed Wallace has got a podcast now. You got to hear what Rasheed said. This is good for air, right? This guy, we're good for air.
Yes,
on this?
I
just want to make sure. I just want to make sure. Rasheed Wallace on Tobias saying a lot of things that we're all feeling here.
Harris.
Sheed not lying.
Sheed, listen. I reached out to Sheed. Hopefully we can get him on the show.
I'd love to talk to Sheed.
But look, like, I want to talk to Sheed about a whole bunch of different things, man. You know, he'd been the son of Philadelphia and a big time Kansas City
Chiefs. I know,
Chiefs
he's
fan.
A huge Chiefs.
We got him to denounce the Nova guys on the Knicks too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he'll do that. Yeah. he was one of my favorite players.
Oh, she's a good guy, man. He's a real good dude.
And he said there what everyone has felt about Tobias for a long time. Enough of the BS.
Making a whole lot of money.
Yeah, he is to stink. I mean, that's the bottom line. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Excuse me. Hit your phone calls here. Eagles, wide receiver, tight end. If they trade up for a pass catcher, would you be upset? I would. I got two fantasy football guys here with me. I thought the guy next to me used to play defense. I was mistaken on that. Would you be upset if they take one? Sixers, and of course, it is a Wednesday. A what-if Wednesday. We have an incredible one for you on the anniversary of one of the most controversial draft picks in Eagles history. What happened if it never happened? What about that next? Your phone calls, 215-592-9494, Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Everyone knows by now the major news, the new big acquisition. Kyle Schwarber's newest teammate, me. No, I'm not playing for the Fightins, but as you've heard, I've partnered with Kyle and Yards Brewing Company's Philly Standard Beer, the tailgate beer. This season, when Kyle goes yard, beers are on Kyle. At bars all over the area, you can enjoy a free Philly Standard the day after Kyle goes yard. Download the Yards Brewing Company app for details and participating bars. Yards Brewing Company.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yes, it is that time of the week. A What If Wednesday here on the Midday Show. We do it every week. We ask you for a what if in Philadelphia sports history. And then we discuss what would happen if that moment didn't happen the way it did. And ironically, today is an anniversary here in Philadelphia sports. You know what it is, Hugh?
What's today's date?
Well, today's date is...
Well, I know the date, but I mean,
April 24th.
Yeah, the special. What's so special about
Well, 4 years ago today, on April 24th, 2020... It was a Friday night, and I remember it very, very well because it was the second round of the NFL draft, day two of the NFL draft. And typically, as we will have this week, you know, we'll be on the air for day one, night one of the NFL draft. But usually, it's a Friday night. The Phillies always play on Friday nights during the MLB season, unless there's a rainout, right? So the Friday night of the draft, we don't have the draft live on WIP. The Phillies almost always have a game. That year, as we all know, was a little bit different. It was the COVID year. So baseball season hadn't begun. That's when Goodell was doing the draft from his basement and all that. So I was on the air doing the evening show, and Hugh, I was awaiting the Eagles draft pick in the second round of the 2020 NFL draft, and then it came across. Here is how it sounded when I found out that the Eagles had selected Jalen Hurts in the second round of the 2020 draft.
Draft. The Philadelphia Eagles select Jalen Hurts, quarterback, Oklahoma.
What just happened? Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tucker was not doctoring that audio. That is real, folks. The Philadelphia Eagles, 1 year after handing Carson Wentz the most guaranteed money in NFL history, just selected a quarterback in the second round. What just happened? 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. Let's talk about this one. The Philadelphia Eagles just selected Jalen Hurts in the second round of the NFL draft. This is the, other than Carson Wentz, this is the highest they've used a pick on a quarterback since Kevin Cobb. The Philadelphia Eagles just used their second round pick, on a quarterback. This, look, when this offseason began, I sat here and said their window to win a championship is over, and their actions are telling us that. And I got a lot of blowback on that. No. The Eagles, they're trying to win the Super Bowl next year. Baloney. You're not trying to win the Super Bowl next year if you are taking a quarterback in the second round. In the second, where all the holes rest the roster. And I got people here saying they got to get Denzel Mims to give Carson Wentz more weapons. They just took a quarterback to back him up. No. The Eagles are thinking long-term with this, and they are not sold, 1,000% sold, on Carson Wentz's durability long-term and how long he'll be a star player. That is the only explanation. That was it 4 years
you
ago.
You called it.
Well, Howie went on a media tour the next week and tried to convince everyone. It was just for a cost-control backup. Yeah, I didn't buy that.
100%, man.
Let me tell you, I remember I was in Atlanta, and I was watching the draft when that happened. And, I remember saying, ooh, like, you know, as a former player, man, you know, I mean, you read the tea leaves and you see, what it means. Like, somebody drafts somebody at your position, then that's a threat.
Of course.
There's no question
about
that.
Especially that high. That's not a sixth-round pick.
Especially at a quarterback spot. What we just talked about. You know, we talked to Mark Ross about an hour ago, and he talked about how this league is quarterback-driven. And quarterbacks drive the league. So teams are always looking for an upgrade at that position. And if you have a chance to get one, then by gum, you take a chance, you get one.
All right, let's play the what if out, everybody. So we all know what happened, right? It became probably the greatest draft pick Howie's ever made to go from a second round pick to back up Wentz for a brief period. And then he took over and then he's in the Super Bowl. And now he's on a $250 million deal. What would have happened if the Eagles didn't make that pick? I believe the reporting said Jeremy Chinn was high on their board, a safety linebacker kind of player, now plays with the Panthers. He's fine. He's a good player. But if they don't draft Jalen Hurts there, Hugh, this franchise is in a bad way. I mean, now there's that open-ended question, like, would Wentz have gone as bad the next year without Hurts looking over
his
shoulder?
Let's just say, safe to say, yes.
Okay. So if Carson was on the decline anyway, which his career has told us he was, they wouldn't have had a contingency plan, which means they would have been forced to take a quarterback in the 2021 class. Hugh, that's the class that now looks like a bad one, right? Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and Zach Wilson and Mac Jones and Trey Lance. One of those guys would have probably been the Eagles' pick the next year.
It feels like it probably would have been Zach. It would have been a reach.
Oh, my gosh.
With Zach.
Didn't they have rumored interest?
They did, because Hurts only played 4 games his rookie year, and they weren't really sure. So, could have been Zach Wilson. The biggest takeaway I have is that if they didn't draft Jalen Hurts, Hugh, I think Howie would be fired.
Yeah, it would be tight for Howie.
It would be very tight.
And Zach would be around here trying to smash all the people's moms.
He'd be out of here by now, too,
yeah,
Zach
Wilson. He'd be on his way somewhere else by now. Yeah, that would have been a bad one. Like, no Super Bowl berth, no going to the Super Bowl.
Nope.
No air conditioners for the city, inner city schools at Philadelphia. Well, none of that.
That'd be gone, too.
Yeah, none of that. Yeah. We did it right there.
Would we have Devontae the next year?
No, because they used their first-round pick on him. They would have been desperate for a quarterback. They would have had to draft.
Yeah, it would have been a different trajectory.
Fields or Wilson feel like who would have been the Eagles' quarterback.
And then there's the whole, like, so if Wentz isn't looking over his shoulder, maybe he plays decently enough to buy him some time. Maybe Doug's still here.
No, I think the way that I heard the story going, Carson rubbed a whole lot of folks the wrong way. He probably would have.
Well, Carson demanded a trade.
He did.
So if he still did that,
maybe
and we
they
didn't
get
have
another
Jalen
year?
Hurts.
Do they all get another year?
Mm.
Well, I'll tell you what. The 2022 Eagles with Doug Peterson and the ghost of Carson Wentz are not going to the Super Bowl. So we could say whatever we want, but it wouldn't have worked
ghost.
Out.
Of course. Yeah, that's true.
It was.
It's amazing. That draft pick, the reaction was wild to start off. I mean, some people were like mad. Some people thought it was just a backup.
I remember hearing people. They were thoroughly upset. I remember that because I forgot what it was. I think I was listening to Ian. But there were some people that were thoroughly upset. Behind.
Oh, a lot. Oh, I would say 75% of people were upset at the pick, thinking, why? Like, we have to get Carson a weapon. We got to do this. It's about now. I mean, that's why when we talk about things like an offensive lineman that could redshirt for a year, I don't think Howie and Jeff think about the draft the way we do.
No, they're just trying to win now.
I don't know. I don't know.
You don't think so?
I think they think big picture about this thing. Do we have a phone call that I took that night? All right, let's listen to this. I think this was the first phone call that came in that right after Hurts was drafted 4 years ago.
I mean, this is how you know Joe Douglas was really the brains behind a lot of the drafting and signings that got the Eagles the Super Bowl. You know, you got to thank Joe Douglas and you got to thank Chip Kelly, because Howie Roseman has no idea what he's doing in the draft. None whatsoever.
Well, he just took a quarterback in the second round, Jesse, after giving another one $100 million.
And that tells you everything that he said during this offseason has been just playing cards, blowing smoke at people. Because I can guarantee you one way you don't add a weapon to a quarterback is by drafting a backup for him.
Well, that's true. It wasn't a weapon for him. It was his replacement that they took 4 years ago today. All right, so Kyle brought up the point, like, what if Carson and Doug got one more extra year, like the Hurts thing doesn't changes the trajectory a little bit here. Do you know who the top quarterback taken in the next year's draft was?
Who?
Kenny Pickett.
Oh, he'd have been here.
Who's here anyway now. So maybe the whole thing was all – maybe the Kenny Pickett thing was in the stars to eventually happen. But 4 years ago, Jalen Hurts drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. 215-592-9494. I think we could all say this. The Eagles would be in much worse shape.
Yeah, definitely.
Just much worse shape. They found themselves a contingency plan for a problem that a lot of people didn't even realize they had.
You know, all that happened, and people were still upset with us when we broached the idea of getting a quality backup in here. Like, people forget so quickly.
Well, and I think there's also an assumption because we've seen guys like Brady and Manning last a long time. Not every quarterback lasts a long time.
They don't.
That was one of the smartest decisions this organization has ever made.
Yes.
Without question.
If Jalen bounces back this coming year and plays more like he did in 2022, it's going to go down as one of the best draft picks they've ever made. I mean, if he wins him a Super Bowl, it might be the greatest draft pick they ever made. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Spike in Bristol. Hey, Spike.
Spike.
Hey, I want to talk to Joe.
I'm listening, Spike.
Oh, yeah, this all
yeah,
you?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm going to tell you that anybody who tries taking my car keys off me is going to get their face punched in, whether I'm 80 years old or what.
Spike, I'm not taking your keys. I'm just saying that we took them from my grandfather.
And another thing is, my mother is right now 81 years old, lives on her own, drives on her own, does her own books. My grandmother was 84. So, you know, I'm sorry about your grandfather. And, you know, if he was wandering off and getting lost, okay, I can buy it. But, you know, that's a bunch of garbage. And Jerry Jones is a very rich man. And I'm sure nobody who's employed by him is complaining about what they get paid. And that's why, and if he doesn't know what the cap space is, then that's why he employs people like Howie Roseman type people. Okay, so he has enough money to pay all those people to do that thinking and figuring for him. So, you know, that's a bunch of garbage.
You know what? Anyway, shut up. Well, that wasn't live, Spike. I didn't tell you to shut up. I get it. And I
Kyle did.
I didn't tell you to Spike to shut up. No, I get it.
Kyle.
Yeah, that was
Kyle's
Kyle.
A good guy.
No, but
you not so much, Joe.
Kyle's
a good guy.
Spike, I get your point.
Call up and straighten out Joe every so often.
Every so often.
Because we were going to revoke his Howie card like 3 months ago.
Somebody needs to, Spike. I'm glad it's you.
I know, we didn't do it. And I went on Joe's defense and said we should only suspend it. So, you know, but Joe, you're crossing the line today.
All right, Spike.
So. Line, Joe.
I apologize.
You're a bitch
to you.
Line
are we good now?
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, Spike.
Bye.
I guess you mean that you're good. Yeah, you're good.
Punk.
I have a role for Spike on the show.
What you got?
I think she should be the official straighten me out person.
I think
we need to have her number on speed dial. So when everyone is against my idea for something on a particular day, she could be the one that calls it.
Got Spike the straightener.
Yeah. I mean, it's very rare that I apologize to anyone on the show.
I mean, you really didn't have a choice.
Well, look,
I mean,
yeah, you were ducking Spike's call for a while.
No, hold on. We had Elliot coming on, and then we had to get to What If Wednesday. I did not duck Spike.
It felt like a duck.
Look, she said she was going to handle you, and I put her right to the top.
I know.
And, you know, I mean, it took a little while.
Well, I just thought we needed to give her some time, right? I didn't want to make it a short phone call before the segment.
That's a good call, because if she did get on right away, we might have had to dump, and we wouldn't.
I know.
We wouldn't be putting her on speed.
Yeah. And I listen.
She's not happy.
I still believe what I said.
Me too.
Yeah. But I understand why if you know someone that's old, you know, in their 80s, and they're running something, so you know, successfully, you might think that's not fair. I'm just saying.
Absolute.
No, it's some 80-year-olds that are sharper than the tag, but I don't feel like, you know, no disrespect to anybody that's a Cowboy fan, but it did, like, to sit there.
No, disrespect Cowboy fans. You should.
No, but I'm just saying, to sit there and admit that you don't know what's going on with your cap, that's and you didn't make any moves, I don't think that's a good space to be in.
Her point about all the people, like, raking in money from getting paid by Jerry Jones is kind of our point. Like, That's good for them, but the people who root for the Cowboys might want them to spend that money a little more wisely.
But she came in so hot, I wasn't about to argue with her. I was going to let Spike handle it.
Yeah, you guys let me all my own there.
Yeah.
And I never said people in their 80s can't live alone or be sharp. They can. I just mean, like, do significant things, like run a football team. That feels like a lot.
And drive a car.
Well, I did go there.
You did go to the car driving, though.
I'm not the only one who thinks that. I mean, you guys could hide here. I'll be the one.
I'm gonna hide, but I do agree. Like, sometimes, like, the older generation, they need to get their ass out the way when you're trying to get through, though.
See,
she's
gonna come yell at you now.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not saying, like, I didn't say take the car keys away, though. I didn't say that.
I was using that as an example more than everyone.
You know, they tend to drive a little bit slower than everybody else sometimes. Well, but even when that's the case, I don't blow the horn. You look like a horn blower. Kyle's definitely a horn blower.
I used to be. I
don't blow the horn.
I have reformed. I've calmed down the road rage.
I'm a horn slammer.
I just roll up on them and mean mug them a little bit, and they just,
yeah, I think your mean mug and my mean mug are a little different.
No, I'm just saying. But you know, mostly when people know they drive, they did something wrong when they drive, they just look straight ahead anyway. So it really don't.
They do. They keep it moving. That's the smart thing. Because I'm gonna look at them like, what, dude? You doing?
Yeah, if we're doing road rage rankings on the show, Kyle's clearly one.
Yeah, he's number one.
I'm two. I think it comes with age. You grow out of road rage. At least I
do. Do you?
Yeah.
Now, my dad would disagree.
So you're supposed to grow out of road rage.
I'll still do it on my own in the car, but I won't like roll my window down and scream at another person.
Yeah, yeah. I try not to do that because you never know who you're yelling at.
You don't. I mean, sometimes you might pull up on someone who's like a nice little.
What if it's an old lady?
Well, exactly.
And you flip her off.
And then you feel bad the rest of your life.
Then she probably deserved it.
Well, maybe she did. All right, Tyrone in Middletown. What's up, Tyrone?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good show. I was listening about the draft coming up. So you saying that they should pick, somebody said you want to see them pick a receiver?
Well, no. Hugh and Kyle.
I want a receiver. We need you to turn your radio down.
All right, Tyrone, you got to turn your radio down, Tyrone. Just a little bit there.
And also, like, is he listening to the show? Like,
well, I think he is. He made a little confused. Well,
obviously, he's listening to the show. He got us on the radio, but it's like.
No, well, I mean, literally, like, he was listening to the show.
Yeah, it's like listening, having it on in the background.
Oh, you mean like
understanding what we're saying.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's challenged with us. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. All right. So there was a report this morning from ESPN that the Eagles could be looking to trade up for a wide receiver or even potentially Brock Bowers. Would you be upset if the Eagles drafted a wide receiver in the first round? At least the Twitter people today are seeing things right. 61% yes, they'd be upset.
Most of the folks on Twitter most of the time are clueless.
Well, I agree, except when they agree with the Twitter poll.
Okay, ask someone on Twitter if they'll be upset. 90% of the time, the answer should be yes.
Well,
that's Twitter.
That's true. But regardless.
Everybody on Twitter is upset.
I'm winning today.
I might put up a poll. Just will you be upset?
Yes. At something Joe says tomorrow. Doesn't matter what it is. But they're with me today, so I'm with them. 61% yes. It would be a mistake. And I just think it's a ridiculous premise to take another receiver. $25 million for Devontae a year, $25 million for A.J. Brown. We got a running back. Everyone wants to run the football. Again, I asked earlier how many footballs they play with this coming season, and I still think the answer is just one. Just one football.
Yeah, but if like I said, yak better mean something to you. It's going to be significant. That means yards after the catch. When you get the ball, you better do something with it.
Yeah, and for our rookie, if he takes the targets that Quez Watkins had last year, you get a whole 21 of them. Quez, the number three receiver in this team last year, had 21 targets. And you guys want to spend a first-round pick on another wide receiver?
Yeah.
No.
Tight end, yes. I wouldn't mind having a tight end.
Now, I mean, look, do I think Brock Bowers is a good player? I do. I think he'll be an excellent pro. But boy, oh boy. That's a lot on the offensive end without enough on defense. And as Elliot pointed out when he was with us, they might have a hole in the offensive line too, a guard.
Elliot don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I mean, people might agree with you on that.
No,
but
I'm just kidding. Elliot's my guy.
I do think he's right on the offensive line thing. It probably is the most likely thing.
It's not a sexy pick, though. Like, the offensive line, like it's not a sexy
pick. But I'm not looking for a sexy pick. I'm looking for a winning pick.
No, that's not a winning pick, then. If that's how you want to kind of paint me in a corner, no, that's not a winning pick.
But the Eagles have made a lot of unsexy picks for the last 20 years and have won a lot of football
games.
Not now.
You did a sexy pick. Now, tight end is a sexy pick.
They did all the – they just signed a running back.
Not now. Tight end is a sexy pick. And I'm not going to lie. Between the two signings that we had this offseason, which one you think got more footwork, more legs?
Legs,
Saquon Barkley.
In what realm?
Because people were excited. People thought when we signed Saquon Barkley, more so than when we signed Bryce Huff, people were excited about it. Oh, we got Saquon. They called him Saquon.
And guess what? The more important player for the Eagles is Bryce Huff.
Saquon?
Bryce Huff.
Saquon.
No way.
Saquon is the most important
they
player.
Gave Bryce Huff way more money, and he plays a more important position.
Saquon got everybody excited.
I don't care what people are excited about. I care about
victories. You're not excited. You should be, because people got excited about Saquon.
I care about wins, W's.
And Saquon is going to give us wins.
Yo, he's won a lot of football games in the NFL.
No, he was on a bad team.
Well, that's true. He was. All right, let's go to Greg, who's up next. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, what's up, Greg. What's up?
Hey, I think Spike may need a cognitive test, because if you don't think that you deteriorate from about 75 on, just to ask somebody who's 75 if they can run a 100-yard dash.
Well, that, so, but wouldn't that be more of a physical deterioration?
Yeah, what I'm saying is,
Joe, we deteriorate, you know, both mentally and physically.
Well, we do. Now, let me just say this. I don't think Spike needs a cognitive test. She's a great caller.
I don't want her to be on my bad side again.
Greg, what do you think about the Eagles here?
So, Joe, a couple of years ago, I remember either Howie or Jeffrey said something like, you have to choose which side of the ball that you want to be great on. There's not enough resources and money to be great on both sides. So choose a side. So my question to you would be, let's say they draft Arnold. Is he going to make the defense elite Super Bowl level? Or if the Eagles draft Brock Bowers and go two tight ends with all that, are they an elite Super Bowl offense?
So it's a very good way of painting the question. And I think they're closer to being elite on offense with one more player than they would be on defense, right? I mean, that's clear, right? I don't think Arnold or Mitchell or a pass rusher is going to move the needle that much on defense to be elite. Well, you're right. One more player on offense could. My worry, Greg, is that I think they've already done enough to be a top five offense. Meanwhile, I'm worried about being a bottom five defense. I just want to move this defense, you know, a little bit closer to the middle of the pack so we got a chance.
The other thing to consider, though, is Goddard has been injured, what, 5-6 weeks each of the last 2 years?
Yes,
and
he has.
He's coming on the end of a contract. And just adding that to the formula that I think Howie has been using the last few years is trade somebody, get that extra second or third round pick, and then he moves up for quality talent like he's done the last 3 years, Jordan Davis's performance aside. But he's not waiting to 20. Whatever he's going to do, he's going to go up with the additional two and whatever else it needs to get somebody that he knows is going to be an impact player.
Well, Greg, you're probably right about
that.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And Bauer is a great player. I mean, he is, and I think he'll be a great pro. And Greg, we appreciate the phone call. And I think Greg makes a good point. And Hugh and Kyle have made a similar point, that they could enhance the offense even more.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at, enhancement.
I just need a defense. I need something on the defense.
We got a defense. Why the pregnant pause, though? By the pregnant pause. We got a defense. We got a good coach that's going to coach these guys up. And we got some young Thundercats on the defensive side of the ball. And we got Bryce Huff. We got enough.
You ever hear the phrase, when you have nothing nice to say, say nothing at all? That was why I paused. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll come back with your phone calls.
I definitely have heard that before.
And it's our final daily mock of the season, but we're not using other people's mocks. Hugh and I are going to give our mock drafts. It is a mock off next. On the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.